everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace. This episode is the interview I did with legendary comic writer Peter David at the Long Beach Comic Con. We talked about two things specifically. Spider-Man 2099 and Peter's work on the Dark Tower series. The Dark Tower series, for those of you not familiar, is a series of seven books written by Stephen King. There's currently a movie in production starring Idris Elba as Roland Deschain, the main protagonist, and Matthew McConaughey as the Man in Black, one of the villains of the piece. So it's a very beloved series. Marvel has adapted some of the novels, some parts of the novels, as comics. They've also done a lot of additive stuff, a lot of stories that kind of fill in the gaps between different stories, different events that happen in the novels. So those are the two books that he's currently working on right now. They're being published right now. So those are the things we talked about. I could have sat and talked to Peter for hours and hours, you know, about his run on Supergirl, his run on Incredible Hulk, his run on X-Factor. Obviously, he's, as I said, a legend in the industry. Really great guy to talk to. Very engaging. If the interview seems a little choppy at times, I apologize. Peter did have quite a few fans coming up to the table wanting to take pictures with him and talk to him and have things signed and such. So I edited out where I could. You might hear a few little exchanges here or there, but that's to be expected. So I hope you all enjoy the interview, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, this is Jace from The Comic Source, presented by LRM Media. I'm here with writer Peter David. How you doing today, Peter?
I'm doing okay.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me. I wanted to talk a little bit about Spider-Man 2099, the series you're currently writing for Marvel. Now, I looked this up when I knew you were going to be here. I wanted to talk to you about this. The character actually debuted November 1992. He's been around a lot longer than I remember.
Oh, yeah.
And you've been on him since the beginning, right?
Yes. So, well, I created him, yes.
And how did that process come about? Like, what were your ideas? Like, Marvel approached you? They said, oh, we want to make Spider-Man in the future.
Marvel didn't just approach me. Marvel approached a group of writers. And they said, we're going to be doing these line of 2099 comic books. We want your take on what you would do with Spider-Man 2099. They told us that he was a scientist who worked for Alchemax. And that was it. And I thought about it, and what I decided to do was zig everywhere that Steve Ditko and Stan Lee zagged when they created Spider-Man. The first thing I did was I said, he's not going to be a descendant of Peter Parker. That's way too obvious. Okay? So, I analyzed Peter Parker. Peter Parker was the generic white guy. I gave my character a mixed heritage, half Mexican, half Irish, because I picked two that didn't seem to remotely go together at all. Peter Parker was a teenager. Miguel was in his mid-20s. Peter had no idea how to approach women. Miguel was engaged. Peter was an orphan. Miguel would have a mother. Peter was an only child. Miguel would have a brother. Peter stuck to walls through basically magic. Miguel would have talons on his fingers so we could actually see what he was using to stick to the wall. Peter built his web spinners out of mechanical parts. My guy would have biological spinnerets. Why not? Indeed, some years later, when the movie version was announced that he was going to have biological spinnerets, fans are going, oh my God, that's so stupid. And I'm going, yeah, I did it 10 years ago, guys. So I sent my proposal for the character into Marvel Comics. And a week later, they contact me and they say, we love what you've come up with. First of all, you're the only writer who didn't have him be a descendant of Peter Parker, which had me falling down laughing. And they said, we're going to give you money up front for creating the concept, and would you be interested in writing the ongoing comic? I said, sure. And that's how I wound up writing and creating Spider-Man 2099.
Now, he's been around, like we said, for a really long time, and you've kind of always been the one kind of steering him where he's going. Do you feel a special connection, having worked on him that long, having created him, almost like he's your child in a way?
Well, I mean, I have actual children, so I can distinguish between the two. But yes, I find it kind of fascinating that I seem to be his caretaker. I mean, Dan Slott brought him back in the pages of Amazing Spider-Man. And when Steve Wacker was leaving Marvel Editorial, he did a letter that said his assistant was working on a Spider-Man 2099 comic book. And fandom reacted in rare form with an actual united voice. Every single person who responded to that announcement did so the exact same way. They said, I would totally read a Spider-Man 2099 comic as long as Peter David was writing it. Fandom itself united and said, we don't want anyone except Peter David writing Spider-Man 2099. And everyone was contacting me going, are you going to be doing this? And I'm going, no, I'm not doing it. No, I'm not doing it. And I get a call from the editor saying, you want to do it? I went, okay.
When Marvel approached you to come back to the character, did you know right away? You still had ideas of stories you wanted to tell? Or did you have to think about it for a while?
Oh, I have no idea. Wait, when I wanted to come back? Or?
Right, when they said...
Oh, I had not thought about the character.
Sorry, can you go ahead. Shake your hand.
Oh, thank you.
I love your work.
Thank you very much.
Really moving.
I really hadn't thought about him in many years. So when they contacted me, they basically said, okay, we want you to start writing Spider-Man 2099. And by the way, we need a 5-page story by tomorrow. And you're late on your first issue. Because they contacted me in May and the book is coming out in July. So I had absolutely no time to think about it whatsoever. So I just kind of put on my thinking cap and started thinking about what he would be up to and the kind of situation of the world around him. I knew that he was going to be working for Alchemax. I knew he was going to be working for his grandfather, because those were all things that the Dan had set up. And I just kind of took it from there.
Now, approaching this character as somebody that you've kind of used the word caretaker for so long, do you feel like you have more freedom, you're so familiar with them, as opposed to just, you know, an average character that you're working on? Or is it more restricted? How do you...
You're going to be in New York, right?
I know, I don't feel restricted at all. I mean, Marvel hires me and trusts me to take care of the character and use him well. And that's exactly what I do. I don't feel restricted in any way.
Well, one of the other properties that you work on is the Dark Tower books.
Yes.
For Marvel. And that's based on the Stephen King series of Dark Tower novels.
That is correct.
That's kind of almost exact opposite of having worked on Spider-Man 2099. You've always been the caretaker. Now here's a property, here's a world that you didn't create.
No.
So is it a different headspace going in and
oh,
building
absolutely.
Off of what?
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm writing for an audience of one, Steve. If Stephen King likes what I came up with, then I absolutely don't give a damn what the fans think. And the fans can be opinionated. I mean, when I first started on the book, fans who didn't like it declared that I had no idea of how to write like Stephen King. And they would quote sections from the book as samples of where I'd gotten it wrong. And invariably, the sequences that they quoted were taken verbatim from the actual books. So, you know, as far as the fans were concerned, Stephen King had no idea how to write like Stephen King.
It was so funny with that.
Is that the biggest challenge, working on a property like this? Trying to make sure you stay true to his vision?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm trying to stay consistent with Steve's vision. By the same token, I'm trying to respond to the needs of comic books. When I first started on it, I was a little concerned because I was worried that Stephen King fans are accustomed to reading lots of words because Steve writes doorstops, you know? And I was concerned that if I wrote it the way that I normally write a comic book, they would go through it much too quickly and feel dissatisfied. So I came up with the concept of a narrator. In my head, you had a group of cowboys sitting around a campfire, and they were discussing what they'd heard of Roland Deschain. and they're batting stuff back and forth.
Abigail Adams.
And then this one guy, an old guy, like, you know, he puts down his plate and he spits out a wad and he says, "You want to know about Roland Deschain? I'll tell you about Roland Deschain. Now I want you to picture this. There's a vast desert. And across the desert, the man in black runs across the desert. And the gunslinger follows. And, you know, and he's telling Roland's tale. And I created the voice of the character based largely upon what I read in book four. I think it was book four. I pulled that voice and that speaking style from it. And I created this unseen narrator to be our guide. And that was, and that way I was able to write lots and lots of narrative captions to give it more of a feel of the Stephen King book. It had less of a feel of a comic book, but I was figuring that the Stephen King fans would be happy. And that's, and you know, that was my approach to writing the comic book.
And when Steve first saw it, did it resonate right away with him? Was he happy with the way that you approached it?
Yes, he absolutely was happy with it. In the beginning, we would get handwritten notes in terms of editing. And I remember one time, it was early on, where there was a sequence in the book where I was going to be quoting directly from. And I wasn't thrilled with what he had written. But my attitude was, this is what he wrote, so I'm going to use it. And I had that. And I got back the script, and Steve had changed it in the script to something that read much better. And I went, okay, if Steve doesn't mind changing what's there, I shouldn't mind changing what's there. So I proceeded to, you know, stick to Steve's work as much as possible, but did not hesitate to rework or reword things if I felt I could improve on it. And from that day on, I never wound up getting handwritten notes from Steve again. So I guess he was very satisfied with what I did.
Now, overall, you've been working in this world for a while now. Have fans come to accept your voice? Is the
yes.
reactions very...
Yes, they absolutely have. So basically, I figure that either the ones that didn't like it stopped reading it, or they got accustomed to it. Either one.
And you were a fan of the... Before you got approached to do this, had you read the series of novels?
I had read the first two.
Okay.
And then, for whatever reason, I stopped, but I kept buying them. And I figured that I would just sit down and read them once the series was complete.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I was contacted by Joe Quesada, the series had been complete for a while. And Joe contacted me and said, "Do you want to write it?" I said, "Absolutely."
Hi.
Hi there. I then spent an entire month reading Dark Tower books from beginning to end in
wow.
one shot. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I really enjoy it. I'm a huge Stephen King fan. I believe that the Dark Tower series is the best stuff he's done. I love it. And I feel that you've really managed to capture the same feel, the same tone. So, as a Dark Tower fan, thank you for that. I love Spider-Man 2099 as well. Thank you for taking such good care of that character.
Thank you.
Your Hulk run is legendary. And it's great to see you still working, still putting out great stories. So for those of our listeners that want to follow your work, what you're currently working on, you have some social media or someplace, where's a good spot for Peter David info?
Well, you can go to peterdavid.net, which is my website. I'm also on Twitter and I'm on Facebook.
Great. Well, thanks very much for your time, Peter.
You're very welcome.
Have a great show.
You too.